Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars getting ready for the New York Jets, and we've got a lot to talk about this evening. I'm Brian Sexton. Across the table, you know Jeff Lagerman. You're getting more and more familiar with John Osher, the senior writer. And what is Buscelli got a different contract than the rest of us?
What's the deal with that? You know, sometimes you're here, sometimes you're not.
We're unfettered tonight. We're in good shape.
More time for Osher.
No, Buscelli, that's a good thing.
Just ask him. He'll tell
you. He better be out selling tickets or something.
That's exactly where he is. He's up the road in Brunswick, Georgia this evening, and that is never a bad place to be. Have you ever been to Spanky's Seafood up there?
No, I have not.
Very good. If you ever get up Brunswick way,
there's a barbecue place up there, though, that's just got picnic tables, you know? Oh, man, it's good.
Really?
Yeah,
you
gotta
really find the name good. Of that. We went up to Jekyll Island a couple of weeks ago, and somebody recommended Spanky's, and why not? That's where all the fishing boats are parked. Outstanding. And then I want the name of the barbecue place. See if you can figure that one out.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that out because, you know, you get hit in the head a few times, you know?
Right.
Sometimes the memory doesn't work so good anymore.
The injury report is out. No concussions this week. That's a good thing. Although Mark Sanchez was checked for a concussion and said he was fine. Though the injury report is the story right now, right? I mean, Mercedes Lewis did not practice today, and Derek Cox did not practice today. And of the two, it looks more likely that Mercedes Lewis may have a chance to play. It's almost certain that Cox is not going to, right?
Yeah, Cox is basically out.
I haven't heard the definitive on that, but I know Mercedes has got a chance.
Yeah, he's going to run Friday, and if he runs well Friday, he'll go. Jeff's tone sort of says it all. When it's like that, it's usually kind of dicey.
Yeah, you know, the word after the game was that he had a cramp, and that's kind of what we were told in a broadcast booth. And, you know, and after you go and you look at it in hindsight, I mean, you don't end up missing an entire half of football with cramps. Usually you get an IV in you, and then, you know, you're back out on the field and you're good to go.
And
he never came back, so.
Yeah, Mercedes said today what happened was, he went to Jack and said, Jack said, "What's up?" And Mercedes thought it was a cramp. It felt like a cramp. Jack told him to go into the locker room and get an IV. When that happened, you know, Mercedes sort of tested it to see what it was, and he said it was clear at that point. It didn't feel it didn't have that cramp feeling. It was, even after he hydrated, he couldn't get he couldn't get it right. So as a result, we're looking at wait until Friday to see if he plays.
Yeah, so you got Mercedes, you got Derek Cox. Anybody else?
A bunch of guys didn't practice or were limited in practice today. Well, who else didn't practice
though? Aaron Campman.
Yeah, obviously.
But that's not going to be a late breaking story. Will he play or won't he play? I think it's going to be a while before Aaron Campman is ready to play.
You think we're looking at maybe the bye week before we see him? Second half of the season.
Well, maybe not that long.
Okay.
You know, maybe not that long, but I think he's going to be out a couple weeks. I mean, this I don't think this is going to be a thing where, you know, he's going to play this week.
Right.
Or is he going to play next week? I think it's going to be, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, before he comes back. You know, after all, Sunday he was, you know, 9 months and 13 days, and now today you add, what, 3 more days to that, so nine months, 16 days. You know, the ACL guys that come back, most of them, in the past, typically it takes about 10 months. Some guys as long as a year. You know, and so to expect him back, yeah, he did it last year, but I think that he was just really fortunate last year to be able to make it back at the point that he did last year. And I don't think he necessarily suffered a setback. I think that he just experienced part of the rigors of rehabilitation, I think, would be more of an accurate statement. And I had a long conversation with him about it. You know, right. I went through the same thing, and I remember I coming back from my knee, I played in a game in the preseason. I could barely walk the next day. It took a couple weeks for me to recover from that. So I think this is just part of the normal recovery process, and it's going to be a few more weeks. And when he's back, he'll be you know, ready to go.
Of the two guys that are injured from last week's game, Cox and Lewis, which one of them is more critical?
To me, it's easy, and this is no offense to Derek Cox, but to me, it's Mercedes Lewis. And the reason I say that is that you are a running football team. Mercedes Lewis is one of the best blocking tight ends in all of football. And also because you have a relatively inexperienced quarterback playing for your football team, playing against a team that has two premier corners, obviously, and Darrell Revis and Cromartie. And so I would rather have my tight end attacking these aging linebackers as opposed to throwing the ball to Mike Thomas or to Jason Hill, who are being covered by those two guys. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. By the way, Hill was a late add to the injury report today with a hip.
He's also a guy, Mercedes, and again, I'm new to covering this team. I've seen Mercedes a few times over the years. But it was clear the other day, when you can get him the ball in the middle of the field, he makes a difference in the offense. The offense works better when he's in there. And this is not a team outside of the running back and the tight end that is just overloaded with offensive weapons. So, I mean, they need him to play, regardless of the opponent, they need him to play and play well. He's critical to this offense.
Now, it seems like Zach Miller's going to get back on the field.
Well, they need him. I mean, holy cow. I mean, if Mercedes can't play, and even if Mercedes can play, you need to have a legitimate receiving threat in the middle against this Jets defense. Mm-hmm. You got to have it. And, I told you all a while ago, I jumped off the Zach Miller bandwagon, and I'd be happy to jump back on. But, you know, give me a reason to jump back on.
Right. Well, the only reason that I really feel like he's going to play, besides the fact you wrote it today, but when they didn't add a tight end yesterday, I mean, I was thinking, all right, I mean, if you've got Mercedes is going to be questionable, won't practice all week, and Miller's been out, injured, they're going to add someone. And when they didn't, I thought, well, Miller must be ready to go.
Well, he practiced today, so that's supposed to mean he's ready to go. As Jeff kind of said, with Zach right now, you almost have to take I'll believe it when I see it approach. And, you know, everybody hopes that he turns in the plays that he's turned in the past, but this is a week where it'd be nice to have it happen.
All right, we got lots to talk about this evening, folks. First and foremost, this invitation to text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239. And you can enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. That means you can hand a game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. You know the Twitter addresses, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. Send them to Baselli anyway. Maybe he'll forward them to us, at Tony Baselli. And the number? 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. When we come back, we'll tell you about the smorgasbord, because you want to know, from Seabest Seafood. Back after this on News Talk WOKV. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk WOKV. And the GOAT folks from Seabest came by with some delicious food. And if you have not been to the Pepsi Plaza on a home game day yet to try it, it's off the charts, folks. There's crab bites tonight, fresh vegetables. They've got a brand new fish stick, which doesn't taste like the fish sticks I grew up with. And something called baked svay. And I haven't got that yet, but it looks good.
It's not bad. It's got like kind of like a hash brown potato on the top of it and a fish underneath of it. I don't like to mix my fish and potatoes, but it's not bad. And those crab bites right there.
Yep. Yeah, they're very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stay away from them if you're on a diet, Ryan. There's a lot of them there. So anyway, here we go. Jaguars This Week, 2 hours. And the phone number, 800-355-6351. So do you want to go back and rehash, or are you ready to go forward?
No, I think we got to go back a little bit because, you know, I think there's a few guys that I think deserve mentioning, at least I thought from my perspective, that I think that didn't get talked about a whole lot. You know, the head coach gave out the game balls. Drew Coleman got one. I'm trying to think of the offensive guy that got it.
Luke McCown.
Luke McCown got it, quarterback, you know, which, yeah, whatever. Maurice was the guy, I think, that obviously could have gotten it. Maurice got, what, an attaboy?
Yeah, an attaboy.
Josh Scobey had a real strong game, 5 touchbacks. But to me, defensively, the guy that I thought really played well and is worth mentioning is Jeremy Mincy. Jeremy Mincy, I thought, was really the main guy that caused disruption in the pocket that was making Matt Hasselbeck uncomfortable. He was going against a Pro Bowl tackle. I mean, Michael Roos is no slouch. I mean, he's regarded as a top-tier left tackle, and Jeremy Mincy was whooping him. I mean, whooping him. I'm going, wow, hey, oh, get him, Mince. You know, I'm watching the tape. You know, during the game, it's hard to see.
Right.
But, man, holy cow, I thought he was real strong. You know, Matt Ross got the sack, but Jeremy Mincy playing and play out. And then when it came down to the end of that game, when Tennessee was driving to kick a winning field goal to try to win that ball game, Jeremy Mincy came to play. And if Matt Hasselbeck could hold on to the ball just for a slight, you know, fraction of a second longer on a couple instances, Jeremy Mincy would have gotten sacks and probably knocked the ball out. He was very good.
How long have you been talking about him?
It's been, since he got cut back when he was the best defensive end in training camp.
It's a couple of years ago.
Quentin Groves and Derek Harvey were here, and he got injured, and then he got waived injured, and I was going, oh, I can't believe they just let their best defensive end go.
I mean, he's been an evolutionary process for this football team.
You know, I wish that people would stop looking at him as a backup. You know, and I think that happens on this staff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I mean, if he plays like
that. Let's start looking
like
at him
last week.
With what we see. You know what I mean? You know, let your eyes tell you what he is. And my eyes tell me that this guy's a quality starter.
All right.
Until somebody else proves that they're better, he's a quality starter.
You think he's going to get a contract? I mean, he's a guy who plays kind of, you know, under the radar, and Matt Roth got $3 million.
I don't know
bucks.
What he's getting paid. I don't know. I mean, I would have to think that Jeremy's probably not making a ton of money. But, you know, and we got a lot of games to go, but, you know, based on preseason games and one regular season game, I would think that if I'm Jeremy Mincy and I'm seeing what, you know, Matt Roth got, you know, $3 million, we know that.
Right.
I'm going, I'm worth that.
Yeah. Another interesting tidbit. Clint Session only played 6 snaps.
Yeah, and then Tennessee came out and spread him out and played a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, and so the Jaguars had to match up in nickel, and when they match up in nickel, then Clint Session's not on the field. I mean, that's just the way it is, and Clint's got to still pick up some of the nickel packages in order to play on the field. But who are you going to take out with your 2 remaining linebackers and nickel? Are you going to take out Darryl Smith?
No.
You going to take out Posluszny?
No.
You know, so.
Right.
But at some point when you play a game like that and a team is playing pretty much all of 3 wide receiver sets, you're going to have to rotate in Clint Session, let him get some snaps to give the guys a breather that are playing a lot. Because when you're playing,
yeah,
he can do that. He's just got to learn the system and learn the coverages. And the reason I say that he's going to have to be able to rotate in on regular package, you know, when you're playing 4 down, 3 backers, you don't necessarily need a blow because you're playing a run, you're playing some pass. But if you're a nickel linebacker, you're running your fanny off in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get winded a lot more so in that package than you would in a base-type defense. And so Clint's got to learn so that he can get in there and give those guys a break or give them a rest.
How'd the safeties play?
I thought the defense as a whole was strong. I mean, you know, there's a few guys I'd like to see play better. Like to see Rasheen play better. Like to see that Derek Cox play a little bit better before he came out, you know, and then he went back in. Like to see him play a little bit better. I thought Drew Coleman was really good. I mean, really good. I think overall there's not a whole lot to fault. You know, I would like to see Matt Roth do a little bit more in his one-on-one opportunities against David Stewart. Would have liked to have seen Posluszny make the sack on the big play that went for 80 yards. You know, but overall, I mean, how can you not like what you saw in the first live action that this defense has had? And in reality, how many weeks have they been together?
Right.
Wow.
I mean, you got to discount the entire first week, right?
Because they didn't get here until August 4th.
Training camp.
Right.
So they virtually have had 4 weeks. Is that about right?
Yeah. Right at 4 and a half weeks. Yeah. It hadn't been much. And I thought they tackled exceptionally well. Maybe, you know, the team I've covered for a long time didn't tackle well. But this team really seemed like it did not let a lot of guys get away. It seemed like I thought the real key, there were some key drives in the first half where the Titans had a chance to get back into it, had some field position where the Jaguars had dominated the first half, and all of a sudden the Titans had some field position with a chance to go score. And, you know, the Titans hurt themselves in some of those drives. But the Jaguars had that shutout at halftime, which I thought was really key for that game, was, you know, the way they got off the field on third downs at times in the first half.
The numbers say they played well against the run. But Chris Johnson only ran the ball 9 times.
Right.
And they fell into a 13-0 hole, and then Matt Hasselbeck started throwing. So how well did they play the run? I mean, you look at gaps and fits and all that
stuff. No, they played real well. I mean, real well. I mean, when you turn on the game film, and I mean, there was nowhere for Chris Johnson to go. And did they give it up a little bit too early as far as the commitment to the run? Probably so. But, you know, John, you talked about good tackling, and one of the plays that I remember the most as far as that was when it comes to tackling, because a lot of times tackling isn't so much the actual process of grabbing a hold of the guy and bringing him to the ground. Sometimes it's things that lead up to that, and it's angles and approaches and taking care of your responsibilities. And you guys probably remember the play, Chris Johnson. I don't remember if it was a pass play or if it was a running play. I just remember Chris Johnson tried to reverse the field and cut it all the way back to the Titans sideline.
Yes.
And Drew Coleman shuffled and got in a position and cut him off. And on the front side, I think it was somebody kind of slipped off of Chris. Might have been Darryl Smith. And so anyway, the angles on this, for that entire defensive play and the defensive effort, I thought was just outstanding. And when you take good angles, it makes you a better tackling football team.
There were a couple of plays where, you know, having seen Chris Johnson a lot over the years, you kind of held your breath and said, okay, he's going to get away from this first guy, because he often does. And there were 4 or 5 plays like that where he got away from the first guy just enough, and against a team that wasn't hustling, wasn't moving, he breaks it. But there were very few of those plays where the Jaguars didn't have that backup guy for that tackle, which you have to have against a guy like that.
The first play of the game, you know, we're talking about who's played well, and, you know, the first play of the game, you're thinking, well, Chris Johnson, they're going to hand it to him. And that was the play that they tried to run the bootleg, and Matt Roth made the sack.
Right.
It's a good thing he made that sack.
Yeah, I heard this. I heard this.
That was you had...
Rasheen got double moved.
You had a double move on going down the Jaguars sideline, and Rasheen was beat. He bit on that so bad. And if Hasselbeck is able to keep his feet and make that throw, if he could have made that throw, because he doesn't exactly have a cannon for an arm,
right,
and it was a real deep double move, that would have been 6.
Say this for him. Kenny Britt is one hell of a football player.
He's good.
I mean, he's problem off the field. He's got a couple of different court dates coming up. But he is big, strong, fast, and just has a knack, it seems to me, for the end zone.
Well, for people who are worried about the Jaguars secondary, for example, this week, I think Kenny Britt starts for the Jets and is probably their one. I mean,
yeah.
I think he's their best.
Well, I think he's the one on 20 teams.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's not really breaking news, but,
yeah.
I mean, he's really, really good. So, for people who were really concerned, oh, the Jaguars secondary played terrible, as Jeff said, they didn't play great, but they were playing one of the better receivers they'll play.
Well, in terms of physical ability, he rivals Andre Johnson now. I mean, Andre's so much more than he is in terms of, you know, what kind of a leader he is and what he means to that offense. But in terms of matching up man-to-man, I mean, he gives you the exact same problems.
Well, I don't know if he does quite the same problems.
Really?
But, I mean, it's just he is a heck of a player. But, I mean, Andre Johnson has got elite speed.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kenny Britt's got elite speed.
Yeah, he ran pretty fast down the sideline.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the speed where if the DB sees that he's going deep that he can run past him. Johnson can do
right.
it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a totally different level of speed. But I mean,
well, Johnson's also one of the best in the last 10-15 years. I mean,
he's tremendous.
He's an all-timer.
Yeah.
So
he's tremendous. But I mean, Kenny Britt is a fantastic player, and if I'm a Titans fan. And I had a chance to watch all the preseason, which I watched a lot of the Titans in the preseason. I'm saying get this guy Matt Hasselbeck out of there and give me Jake Locker, because Jake Locker was better than Hasselbeck in the preseason, and it didn't look too big for him. And the Titans right now are wasting time. Now, Jake Locker, now there may people say, well, why don't you say that about Blaine Gabbert? Blaine Gabbert didn't show that he was ready yet. You know, he didn't show that he was ready to rock and roll yet. In time,
well, and Locker went back for senior year too.
But Locker is ready to go, and I can't believe that they're wasting time with Matt Hasselbeck. And by the time the Jaguars playing the next time, when is that?
Not till December 20th.
Jake Locker will be the quarterback.
You know, and you know, you've mentioned this several times, Jeff, and so have I. Blaine was in high school in 2008, and that's not to make an excuse, you know, or whatever that sounds like, but that's only, that's just barely over 3 years out of high school. You know, it's not ridiculous that he would need a little more time.
No, no doubt about it. And they play the Titans again Christmas Eve, so they've got a ways. In fact, they don't have another division game until October 30th, right before Halloween. So we have to break. News is next here at the bottom of the hour on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, rolling right along here, Jaguars This Week. Jeff Lagerman, John Osher, Joe Fortunato, yours truly. And you can become a part of Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, check out jaguarsadvantage.com. We are loaded up. Phone lines are stacking. Tweets are stacking. Loggy, what do you want?
Go to Renato because he wants to talk a little bit about Jeremy Mincy. He's from Jersey, and I'm just curious to know what his thoughts are on Mincy, because I shared some of mine.
Renato, here you go. The floor is yours.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on, Jeff? Listen, man, I was trying to get in yesterday. I mean, last time y'all was on the air, but I ran a little bit out of y'all ran out of time before I could even say something.
Right.
Like before that, like you made a good point with Jerry Mincy when they cut him, but then they brought him back. If you look at every time that they had players, they would cut players, and then you know, and they go on to another team, and they benefit from their talent leaving from Jacksonville. Now I'm a Jacksonville fan, you know what I'm saying? Like even when we go into the David Garrard, you know, from there, like Luke McCown. Now the truth of the matter is, Jones-Drew was the main guy, even though Luke McCown, his numbers was not outstanding and it wasn't like jaw-dropping or anything. And basically, he wasn't the main one that did most of the work.
Right.
It was basically the running game that did most of the work. Now, when you let David Garrard, I know he probably didn't have a good camp, but you let go 23 to 24 touchdowns from last year. So basically, now you're going into it and you let go of a receiver like Sims Walker, and then you turn around and you got these other receivers, which I like Mike Thomas, but there's a question mark there. And now you're going into a stout defense like the Jets. Like you basically got Revis and, you know, Cromartie, which are considered shutdown corners, and you have question marks on your receiving core, and being that Mercedes Lewis is maybe or questionable that if he's going to play, the odds doesn't look too much favorable for us to play on going in this.
You
know what, Renato? Back in 2009, when this football team went to New York, did anybody believe or really think that this team had a chance going to play the New York Jets up in New York during that year?
Well, they had Mike Sims Walker then, though.
That's true.
No, I mean,
I did because they had a rookie quarterback. That was the reason why. But they were coming off
a 5-11
season.
Defense was, you know, and
was number one in the league that year.
Oh, I mean, they were playing real good defense. They were the number one rushing team in football when they went there in 2009. And holy cow, they had back after back. So, I mean, nobody really believed it then. But the Jaguars played their style of football, which is very similar to the style of football that they're going to want to go up and play this year once again. Now, I don't know exactly, Renato, how to comment on some of the comments that you made about the wide receivers and such. But when you talk about letting David Garrard go and you say you let go of that number of touchdowns and you let go of Mike Sims Walker and he had X number of catches, you know, at some point somebody's got to start from somewhere.
Yes.
You know, not everybody just comes in the league and they have numbers and all of a sudden they're great. I mean, they've got to prove themselves. I'm going to give you a name, and this is for you, Renato. A guy to watch for this football team that's going to, I think, going to be a really good football player by the end of the season is Jamar Newsom. Just watch Jamar Newsom.
He played a lot. Why do you say it, though? What did you see?
He's got size. He's got speed. He's got the ability to contribute on special teams, which is going to make him active more than a Jarrett Dillard on game day, and he's going to get opportunities. And the way that this guy practices and the way that this guy plays when he's on special teams, he has no problems catching the ball. He's going to be pretty good.
Undrafted from Central Florida, and there's a statistic that is from the Jets that kind of takes what you're saying to a different level. You realize that 13 of the 25 players on the Jets' defense are undrafted. So to say that an undrafted free agent will be an impact player, a guy who will make some things happen, that's not a stretch anymore in the NFL,
no,
is it? Not when you look at the Jets' defense.
Well, you only have 7 rounds anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, heck, if you could go back in time and talk about undrafted guys back in the 60s and the 70s, and they turned out to be pretty good, holy cow. But at the same time, they had a ton of rounds. They didn't have the scouting staffs that they have now. But, I mean, is it really a big deal for an undrafted guy to make an impact nowadays? I mean, no.
Yeah.
There's only 7 rounds in the draft, right?
There's 7.
Right? It's really to the point where if you don't have 2 or 3 make it, and if you don't have a few contributing,
then your scout staff is not doing its job.
Yeah, I mean, you're deficient more than it is that being something special about you anymore. And you know, I think most people would tell you the same thing.
And I'm not saying that you know, hey, that Newsom's going to be a great football player and he's going to be a great receiver. I'm just saying, watch him. When he's on the field, watch number 14.
3-5-5.
He is still wearing 14, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was looking at the right guy.
6-1-2-0-1, hard to miss him. 3-5-5-NFL-1. Let's go to Las Vegas next. Robert is standing by. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to state my opinion on limiting MJD's carries, which I think is a good thing. I don't want him getting 35 carries a game either. But the way that they did it, I didn't like so much. Like, they took him out for, like, 4 consecutive drives, like, I think it was fourth quarter. And it really seemed to, like, stall the offense. And I don't know, it seemed like if you're going to, you know, limit his carry, put him in on second and third, put Kareem in on, or put him in on first and second, you know, rotate Kareem in on third and stuff like that. But I just don't like having our best offensive player out of the game for, you know, that many consecutive drives. But
no, and I'm with you that, you know, I would have liked to have seen Maurice, because at one period of time in the third quarter, I was going, is he hurt?
Right.
You know, is there something going on and we didn't know? You know, I agree in that I would not want to take him out for an extended period of time. I would rather kind of do it here and there and here and there, because sometimes if you go out for a period of time, you can get cooled off and you kind of have a hard time getting your rhythm again. But I'm all for limiting his carries. I mean, hey, look, Maurice can carry the ball 30-something times in a ball game, but do you really want to have your best player when you get to December, when you want to make that push where you haven't been all that good in the last couple of years, to be kind of running out of gas?
I thought the other day they got in a situation. He had 13 at halftime, and then they had that drive in the third quarter where they got down the goal line. And everybody sort of knew if they stick it in there, it's going to be real difficult for the Titans to come back. So they used Maurice there trying to get the ball in the end zone. And then all of a sudden you look up after that drive and he's got 21 carries. And then it's like, whoa, we better back off it a little bit. And, you know, that situation probably didn't play out the way they exactly wanted it to.
No, it probably could have been handled better.
But, you know, you can definitely see the point of, you know, everybody says, well, they didn't go for the jugular. That's all I've heard this week. They didn't put him away.
No, they tried to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had Maurice Jones-Drew in the game on second one from the one, and they ran him twice. For this team, that's trying to put the team away. So, you know,
and
I thought that just got away from him a little bit.
And I wonder, too, when they got down to that goal line, you think about what you had personnel-wise available. You didn't have Mercedes available on that drive. So you had Zach Potter, and then you had Cameron Bradfield going in there as a tight end. Mm-hmm. How many plays got taken off of the call sheet because you didn't have Mercedes Lewis, you know, ready to go, and you didn't have a Zach Miller that could step in if you had an injury to Mercedes or one of Zach Potter?
Change the dynamic completely.
Absolutely.
Hey, we've got a tweet from Brian, and he, since we're talking about Maurice and his carries, he wonders, is there any chance that we'll see Deji Kareem and Maurice Jones-Drew on the field at the same time?
Yes.
Maybe with DK in the slot.
Yes.
And maybe does that...
We saw that in a preseason.
Okay.
And we'll see that, I'm sure, at some point this year. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this week.
All right, folks. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. And we'll be back with more Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna. After this, on News Talk WOKV. All right, rolling right along here. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. You can get your Bueller Swiss at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Before we get back to this...
let me give a little quick story that I got shared with me today from a good friend of mine, Captain Kirk Walsh. You guys know.
Okay. Sure.
He was up in South Carolina last weekend for a wedding, and he's driving back on Sunday, game day, right? And he was outside of the signal of WOKV, and so what does he do? His wife actually had downloaded the Jaguars app on her phone, and he plugged in the headphones to the phone and listened to our broadcast of the game from the Jaguars app the entire drive on the way back, and he said it was absolutely perfect, like it was listening on radio.
And followed the live blog.
He didn't do that. He was driving.
Yeah, he was driving. You know, we had some people complain about there being a bit of a delay when they were sitting in the stadium, but if you're just driving down the road, if you're not in the stadium and you're not in front of your TV, it's just like listening. Well, you know, it's perfect.
Hey, I got.
Can we say radio on this broadcast? Like listening to the radio.
And he actually shared that story with like four other guys that are out of WOKV's range, and they're going to be taking the Jaguars app and their headphones with them to deer stands. All
of a sudden, we got to...
They can do that for
all
the
of a sudden,
stand.
And they can tweet you, and then you can tell logs what they got from the deer stand. Just as a matter of how far we've come technologically speaking, when we got started in 1995, and my dad wanted to listen to the broadcast in Kansas City, he would have to call WOKV and ask to be put on hold. And back then, he would ring up a long-distance bill. And today, he can get the app. And
that's great.
Wherever, I mean, technology has totally changed.
And I was told today that if you wanted to get, for example, the Dallas Cowboys app, you got to pay serious money for it.
This is free.
This is a free app. Yeah. Costs you nothing.
Nothing.
You know. So just trying to
hang with us, folks.
Plug our business a little bit there.
Absolutely. We've got to find a way to make money off that app, though.
Maybe they could sell the live blog.
You know what I like about you so much, Osh? Shameless self-promotion is not beneath you. You fit right in here, folks. All right, 355-NFL-1. Eric is on the west side with, quite frankly, one of Loggy's favorite topics. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yes, with Rashad Jennings being out for the season, I was wondering what you guys thought about Greg Jones getting some more carries or getting some carries at halfback this year. And I wanted to take you guys' comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Eric. No, I like the idea of Greg getting an occasional carry, and I'm talking, you know, 3 to 5. Maybe 5 being tops in the game. But, I mean, Eric is what he is. He's one of the best blocking fullbacks in the league. And it was a shame that he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year over Vonta Leach. He is better than Vonta Leach. He doesn't get a lot of the extracurricular stuff, but he gets more movement on guys. He's better in pass protection than Vonta Leach. And he was a big part of why the Jaguars were able to run the ball as well as they did in this game this past Sunday, because the Titans stacked the box. I mean, they played a ton of guys in the box. And when you can still run with that number of guys in the box, your fullback has to be getting it done. And Greg got it done.
He had 1 6-yard carry, all right, which is exactly half the number of carries that he had all of last season. Here's my question. Go back 08, 2009, and now you know 2010, he only carried it twice. How many carries does he have from the start of 2008? What would you guess? Include the one.
What was the big year that Maurice and Fred had?
2007, and he had 42 that year.
Greg did.
He had 42 that
year.
Wow. Since that year, including the one on Sunday, he's carried the ball 9 times.
Wow.
That's it. And he has played in... 29, 39, 41, 42 games, and he's only carried the ball nine times now.
Well, he's going to have to carry a little bit this year. I thought Montel did a great job. What are Montel's numbers?
He carried the ball three times for 17 yards.
He did a nice job.
7-yard runs. I think he's a guy that probably – he's a downhill runner. Shouldn't he get the ball a little bit more often?
He's got a little bit more speed than Greg, you know, so probably has a little bit more big play ability. But, I mean, for sheer power, I mean, Greg's probably 260-plus pounds, I mean, and solid as a rock.
Wow.
And the way he finished that 1 6-yard run, I thought it was real nice, you know. So, I mean, they got so many different options to take the pressure off of Morris because, you know, Montel's capable. Brock Bolin is capable. Deji's explosive. He's a home run threat when he touches the ball. But, I mean, the reality is that how many carries are you going to have in a game? And how many times are you going to end up having 47 carries in a game?
How's that,
It's not going to happen a lot.
100 carries, 100 rushing attempts in the last two games against the Titans. You never would have thought that, would you?
I had a buddy of mine. Who's my best friend? Me and him actually went to Winnie the Pooh preschool together, and that is a real school.
Where?
In Herndon, Virginia. Okay. We went to Winnie the Pooh preschool. It was up in the attic of a church, and it's my buddy Ed. And I talked to him on, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, yesterday or the day before. And he you know, follows the Jaguars and obviously is a big fan of the Jaguars because of my role. And he said, you know, the stat that really impressed him the most, because he didn't get a chance to see the game, was reading the stat line. He said, is that the Jaguars had more rushing attempts than the Titans had rushing yards. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when they just paid the guy for the Tennessee Titans $53.5
million. $30 million guaranteed. Here's the number. Ready for this? In the last two games against the Titans, the Jaguars have run the ball 100 times for 416 yards, or a 4.16 per carry average.
That's pretty strong.
Holy cow. Yeah, you never would have thought there'd be enough carries in a game against the Titans.
John, are you doing okay with all this stuff? You know, you're used to covering Colts and, you know.
I looked at Ryan Robinson during the game the other day, and I said, you know, this is just a little bit of a different tempo than what I'm used to. But, but it's interesting, like you said, and you made a point with the running backs. You know, I think we're going to see over the next few weeks – you know, them sort of get used to how to use these guys. These guys, I mean, they have not had to go away much from Maurice Jones during the last couple of years. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a feeling out process on just how you divide carries, how you sort of, you know, when they're resting or not using Maurice quite as much, perhaps, where you go with the ball after that. Just like a passing offense needs time to figure out what it's doing, I think this offense will do the same thing over the next couple of weeks.
And you make a good point. I mean, they're going to figure out how to use them, and they're also going to find out how to manage where Maurice gets his carries.
Right.
You know, where you won't have that stretch of a quarter to where he doesn't touch the ball.
Well, he carried the ball 9 times on the first drive. 12-play drive, he carried it 9 times. You're probably not going to see that.
No, and maybe not. I mean, the caller we had earlier that talked about maybe Deji coming in on third down, maybe you'll have some of that. You know, but they really wanted to set the tempo against the Titans early in that ball game, and you set the tempo
right
with your hammer back, and your hammer back is Maurice.
And with that kind of a game, a lot of fans, you know, a lot of the emails I've gotten this week have been about, you know, why'd they do this, why'd they do that, why didn't they go after it more with Luke? And this was a game where they were, you know, if you look at the stats and look at the – if you don't look at the score and you just look at the stats, the Jaguars' lines really controlled the game. You know, yes, the Titans had a chance to come back at the end, but, you know, you never really had the sense that the Jaguars were not in control in terms of the trenches. Now, you know, certainly the score on that last drive could have gotten away from them, but – overall, it was hard to say where they would have exactly done a whole lot differently in terms of the tempo and the flow of the game.
All right, folks.
And just one quick thought here. You know, we talk about them kind of learning how to handle the running backs and the carries that Maurice will have. You know, Dirk Cutter is still trying to feel his way out with that whole offense, too, with having a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as Luke McCown plays more and Dirk grows comfortable with what Luke can do and kind of lets him ease into the season, I think we're going to see Luke McCown do more. And so when you get to that point in a ball game to where, you know, you go for the throat or whatever, which they could have done that if Maurice goes into the end zone there in the third quarter. I think you'll see Luke be allowed to do more with the passing attack.
Time for news here at the top of the hour. We've got one more hour of this fine radio program. We call it Jaguars This Week, and it's presented by Aetna, only on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. There is a picture that is hanging.
What'd you say there, Joe?
There is a picture that is hanging on our radio studio door. And it is, I didn't recognize this until just now, until Joe pointed it out. It's a pair of feet. I mean, and then you look and you see that it's Rex Ryan's wife with her feet out the window. And it's that infamous YouTube video that stirred up all that junk last year. And that's, by the way, our executive producer, Joe Fortunato, who's letting everybody in New York know, no big deal, man. We're bringing it. We are not going to let you get to us.
Can't believe you did that, Joe.
The agony. I'm not even going to say it's a bad joke. Forget it.
Of Duffy.
Joe Fortunato. That's a Hey Joe moment. You know, you don't do Hey Joe on this radio station anymore.
I think you should start doing it here on this show.
I do. Every week you should have a Hey Joe. We could probably get it sponsored. And John could blog it.
Mike Dorwart would have a baby.
Why? Well, he doesn't own it. It's been off of his air for how many years now?
I think we need to start doing a weekly Hey Joe.
I do too.
And how it Let's relates to the game of the week.
Well, if you guys Jaguar listened, if you listened, but you don't.
No, we listen to you.
We have.
What's that, Joe?
There's a. Yeah, thank you, John. Oh, man. I get it.
Now, hey. What do you see there? When you turn around and you look, is that just instigation? You don't have to say a word. You can just nod.
You know,
that's Joe.
Say it. Say
somebody
it.
Just walked in and they're
that's
looking at the
Joe
door.
Joe instigating trouble.
Joe.
Isn't it?
Joe termed that the agony of defeat.
No, I didn't. I avoided that joke at all costs.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
See? And now I feel bad.
Oh, no, you don't.
Midlife crisis.
Oh, man.
You need to be closer to the microphone.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks.
Hey, I do a rewind letter.
I know.
Every week.
But we're always running to do television when you're on.
Yeah, but that's
that.
during the tailgate show.
Right.
And we why can't we have something for this show?
Something special. Something that says.
Something that's got some humor and some levity.
You guys are funny.
And no matter how much.
Look at John.
Was that?
You're right.
Was that Joe?
No matter how much time Buscelli takes, you will get your time. Come on, Joe. Okay. We need to do it. You've got so many little things I know just stored away.
Guy walks into a bar.
Okay, there you go. There you go. He's got it. You know he does, folks. Next week. Hey, Joe, Rollin Isbell, I know you're listening. Here's going to be a sponsored segment. The opportunity is significant. Okay.
I like that idea.
I do, too. I like it a lot.
Don't like Joe, but I like the idea.
Wow. Folks, you got to know him to appreciate him. That's all we can say. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Where do you want to go?
Michael.
All right.
Atlantic Beach.
Michael's in Atlantic Beach. Hello, Michael.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show, guys. First of all, I want to say, I appreciate you guys broadcasting the games. It's great that we can listen to the games on 106.5. You guys broadcast games. So first of all, thank you, all of you guys that do that. We appreciate it out here. What I want to ask you guys, though, is about the upcoming game and Jaguars versus the Jets and a little bit future in that. The Jaguars, the problem I see right now is that they only scored one touchdown against the Titans, and it was all field goals after that. Now, I do agree with you guys that Matt Hasselbeck may not have been the perfect fit for the Titans at that point, but if Matt Hasselbeck and the Titans get their stuff together, I think the next meeting between those teams can be a little bit different. Now, also, I didn't know Mercedes Lewis was out injured, but with the Jaguars going with primarily running, don't you think some of the teams that we're facing, like the Jets, Panthers, Saints, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens, and Texans coming up, you don't think these teams are going to gang up their defense to go after the running game of the Jaguars?
Well, that's what the Titans did. I mean, make no mistake about it, the Tennessee Titans know what the Jaguars do. That's what historically what they've done is played 8 in a box, and the Jaguars still stuffed it down their throat. You know, when you play the Tennessee Titans and you have Matt Hasselbeck, a quarterback, is your offensive game plan going to be the same as when you play the Houston Texans? Probably not. You know, they understood that Tennessee having a running back who didn't sign until, what was it, September 2nd?
September 3rd.
Or September 3rd. And a veteran quarterback who hasn't been in the system a very long time and who doesn't have a particularly strong arm, I don't think that they were overly concerned about scoring a lot of points. I think what they did is say, hey, look, we're playing a team that's not high-powered. We're at home. It's hot. Here's what we do best. We run the football. We have a great running back. We're going to run it down their throats. We're going to make them tired. We're going to get them fatigued. And then we're going to play close to the vest with our quarterback, who just was named the starter 5 days ago. To me, that was brilliant. That was the thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, when all of a sudden you get into the next week against the Jets and the week after that against Carolina, will it probably stay similar to what we saw? Probably pretty similar. But then when you play New Orleans and the other teams like that, is it going to stay the same? No. I mean, you got to cater your game plan to suit the opponent. And for the Tennessee Titans, what they did, if they had just knocked it in, that game was over. And so there was nothing wrong with what they did game plan-wise. I thought it was brilliant.
Well, especially, like you said, you know, so many people this week, why didn't they let Luke, let Luke throw more, let Luke throw more? He had been the starter for 5 days. He hadn't started in 4 years. Let him work his way into this a little bit.
You only need 1 point to win.
One more, and you win.
One more is all you need. I think people suffer from the, if you don't win 35-7, it can't be possibly good enough. And yet, you know what they're writing in New York this week, today in particular, is, hey, they won. Who cares?
Right.
You know? I mean, that's just the way that it is. 3-5-5.
You know what they might else be writing up there in New York?
It changes now day to day up there. So
they need to start running the ball more, right?
16 rushing attempts is just not their personality.
No.
Last year, the Jaguars were third in the NFL, 149.7 rushing yards per game. The fourth best team in terms of total yards rushing per game were the Jets, 146.7. And so when they only rush it 16 times, that changes it. Now, here's a question for you. Shawn Green, they move him into the lineup. 2 years ago, he was the backup to Thomas Jones. Last year to LaDainian Tomlinson. Now he's the man. What did you see when you watched the tape?
He's okay. You know, but I saw more in LaDainian Tomlinson than I did in Shawn Green. I mean, Tomlinson's still a fantastic back, you know. But, I mean, he's getting long in tooth, and you can't expect him to take the pounding, play in and play out. And they're putting Tomlinson, much like Maurice Jones-Drew, on a pitch count. You know, they want to have him fresh and ready for their playoff push. And I think the Jaguars, their attitude's the same way. Hey, we need to control the number of carries Maurice gets so that when we get into December and hopefully get into the playoffs, he's as fresh as he's ever been. But, I mean, Shawn Green is just a guy. And, you know, looking at them up front, I remember in 09 when we went to New York and the Jets were clearly the best rushing team in football, the offensive line probably the best in the league at that time because, I mean, they were just pounding people. And
I remember you said it.
And Mark Sanchez didn't have to do anything. I mean, they were winning with defense and winning with running the football. They had DeBrickishaw, Ferguson, the guy from Pittsburgh, left guard.
Oh, Alan Faneca.
Alan Faneca, Nick Mangold. Moore was still the right guard. And then you had
Damian Woody
at right tackle. And that was a really good group. And what I've seen from watching the tape on them this year, Ferguson is very good at left tackle. Slauson is pretty good at left guard. Nick Mangold did not play all that well Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, he's playing against Jay Ratliff, who's a pretty good football player. The right guard, Moore, still pretty solid. And Wayne Hunter, the right tackle, is not very good. He was exposed on Sunday night. And the Jaguars need to take advantage of his position because he ain't good enough.
You say exposed. DeMarcus Ware is, I mean, boy, he
but it
can
wasn't
expose
just
a lot
him.
Of people. Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, can Matt Roth get this guy?
I hope so.
Okay.
I mean, Matt Roth should I don't want to say should eat him up, but Matt Roth should have success against Wayne Hunter because Wayne Hunter is not a tackle that has great movement, doesn't have great feet. He's a mauler. And what the Jets did against the Cowboys is not the kind of style that Wayne Hunter needs to have played. He needs to be able to be a run-blocking right tackle.
You wouldn't expect the Jets to do very much differently offensively than they did the other night. Rex Ryan said today on the conference call that he, they don't like to run that much more than, to throw that much more than they run. but they thought that the Cowboys had a suspect secondary and they went after it. And, you know, I think on paper that would be the way they would go this week.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab Jason in Virginia Beach up next on Jaguars This Week. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. First, I wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for the job that you do for people like me who aren't in the area. I listen to the radio broadcast and the blog that that John does. I just want to show you some love as well.
Live blog.
Really appreciate the job that you do. It's like, you know, we're there, but even though we're really not. So I thank you guys. The comment or the question that I had was really for the 80-yarder that Kenny Britt had, that fluke play that he had. I'm watching it on the television, and I see the pass goes out, and I'm watching, and I see what looks like Courtney Green coming up on Kenny Britt, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he's going to blow this guy up. Go ahead and write the fine check right now. And it just seems like it was a really awkward play. I really just wanted to get your guys' comment on it. Maybe you guys saw something that I didn't. I don't really analyze the play as well as you guys do. So I just really wanted to get your comment on that play, if you could.
Go ahead, blogger.
Well, it looked to me like the Jaguars secondary, I mean, Courtney Green and Clint Session, started playing the ball, and it was kind of a fluky pass. And when that kind of thing happens, when it's sort of like, you know, when you have a kickoff,
mm-hmm,
and it goes somewhere it's not supposed to go and has a weird bounce, and everybody just kind of stops and everybody just kind of, you know, starts looking at the other guy to make the play. And I thought the flicked pass sort of threw everybody off in the secondary, and then you stop for that split second, and all of a sudden the play's by
you. You know what it was? Everybody was sitting there looking at Hasselbeck going, what is he doing?
Yeah.
What in the world is that? You know, so they were kind of off.
Sort of like the muffed punt. When you have a muffed punt and somebody picks it up, and all of a sudden you stop for that half second.
And with that ball being kind of thrown up into the air, everybody's first thought is that he's just throwing it up there, and everybody's thinking about playing the ball instead of making the tackle. That's clearly what Clint Session did.
Right.
You know, Clint Session is playing as a nickel linebacker and didn't play a whole lot in that game because they were playing nickel defense so much. And, you know, so I don't know if he had the greatest awareness in the world, but he's thinking, I'm going to take this ball and score.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, fluke play.
It's a react and instinct kind of game, and Jeff played, I didn't. But, I mean, it's a react and instinct game. And when something happens like that that's all of a sudden just looks kind of unusual, you know, you stop for that half a second. And when Kenny Britt gets a half a second, you know, he's going to score.
355-NFL-1. One more call, then we break. Don is on the west side of Jacksonville. Hello, Don.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe, I got something for you. Since the guys won't let you tell a joke, I've got a nice, clean one for you.
Now we won't let you tell a joke.
Hey, teenage boy's telling his dad, Dad, I don't want to stay with Mom anymore. Dad asks him, why not? Son says, she's no fun anymore. Dad says, well, son, that's why we're not married anymore either. So, let me tell it to you.
Your time is up.
And so is ours. We go to a break. Thank you, Don. Time for a quick timeout here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Here we go, Jaguars This Week. About 37 minutes left in the program. We've got news here at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll roll up till 8 o'clock. 1 o'clock kickoff from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10, Southern Pregame Show at noon, kickoff at 1, the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show to follow. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. We got you covered from just about every end.
Hey, John, did you talk to any of your homies back in Indianapolis about the Colts debacle against Houston?
I did not, but it's probably not a week where they're going to pick up the phone a whole lot anyway. But, no, I mean, clearly that's something they haven't seen in a long, long time. I mean, they're not a team in the last 10 or 12 years that has been out of a whole lot of games just early and just looking bad. I mean, it was
ugly.
Not something they're used to.
That was plain and simple ugly.
Yeah. And
it's what I expected.
Yeah, it The one thing you want to caution fans with, though, is assuming that because they look like that, that there's two easy wins at the end of a season.
Oh, no.
As you know, Jeff, most NFL, you know, there's talent on every NFL team, and most teams figure out a way to get competitive. You know, they're not going to fumble twice in the first quarter every, you know. They're still a team you got to watch. I mean, they're going to struggle without Peyton.
That team, though, was built for Peyton Manning. I mean, both offensively and defensively, that's how they were built. I mean, they were built to throw the football. They've never invested anything as far as offensive linemen go because Peyton could end up getting rid of the ball you know, quicker, so they didn't spend any money up front.
Right.
They didn't get any draft picks early in the draft until this past year along the offensive line. And defensively, it's a team that's built to rush the passer and to play with a lead.
And the thing you said is I mean, they're getting a lot of criticism, and some of it deservedly so, for not having a better backup quarterback. And they never voiced this, but the approach has always been, A, they could never find one because no veteran wants to go there and sit behind a guy who's
never
been playing since 1998. B, you know, what was the point? You know, even if you had the 35th best quarterback in the league playing behind Peyton, it was so geared toward him that even if you had a decent backup, you still weren't going to compete for the Super Bowl without him. That was always their goal. So, you know, they always took the approach that our eggs are in this basket and we'll worry about the other stuff when it comes.
Yeah. Wasn't pretty, though.
No, it was striking to see.
How about David Garrard going to Indianapolis?
See, that makes no sense to me.
Right.
Because they're a call the play at the line of scrimmage offense, and David's a call the play in the huddle and don't change it at the line of scrimmage quarterback.
Could you change it? Could you change your philosophy? And would you have to change it anyway for who, no matter who is running the show?
Well,
you know, as long as it's not Peyton Manning, I mean, can you really run that type of offense anyway? No.
No.
Well, Kerry Collins can to a greater degree than David, though. I mean, David's a make something happen with the ball in his hands, and Peyton makes it all happen with the play call before he even snaps.
I think Jeff alluded to the right point. No matter who they have at quarterback, if it's not Peyton, it's going to be so drastically different than anything they've done because, as you guys know from watching it for five or six years, twice a year, everything's feel at the line of scrimmage. Everything's, you know, going to the right matchup, knowing instinctively when to go where, and it's all happening, you know, just like that. And he's been in the system for 13 years. Another quarterback is not going to come in and I'd be able to run that in that same intuitive way.
You know,
it just doesn't work.
Part of the natural process of a roster is getting some high draft picks here and there, and they haven't had many of them over the years. The last high draft pick they had was, what, 02 when they got Dwight Freeney?
02, and in two or three years after that, they did a good job without a high draft pick. They got Dallas after that. They got Joseph Addai after
that. Sure, but you still need to replenish your roster. And there's
since they got Joseph Addai, 07, 08, 09, and 010, you know, their drafts have not been what they were before.
Now, I know that everyone's pointing and saying they could find themselves in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, which would be, oh, my goodness. I mean, they lose Peyton for a year, and then all of a sudden they hit the lottery. But even if they're not, they're going to be in a position to get a really top-quality player.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a young quarterback, or maybe it's another big-time player like a Freeney.
I think there's enough.
They need that.
I think there's enough talent on the team and enough pride on the team. My experience is usually when a team gets that first draft pick, it's not always just talent. It's everything's falling apart. There's quitting. You know, there's a lot of things going on that are sort of chaotic. I don't see that franchise getting chaotic.
Right, but they'll still have a good draft.
Yeah,
which is
what I'm saying. I don't think they'll be the number one pick overall. I don't think they'll be in the Luck sweepstakes
franchise,
but you know, certainly it gives them a chance to get a high quality player, and that's why their left tackle position wasn't addressed until this year. That's why a lot of the key positions that you've got to have impact players at, they don't have because they haven't been drafting high enough to merit taking those kind of positions at that spot.
And they've made some mistakes the last couple of years.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, they drafted Tony Hugo, right?
The
thought was he was going to be a top draft choice.
Well, the idea was they traded up to get Hugo in 07, I think it was. And, you know, they thought he'd be their left tackle. They thought, you know, they thought Anthony Gonzalez would be healthy and, you know, supplement the receiving core. You know,
those things happen.
When your first round picks, as this franchise certainly knows,
you betcha.
When your first round picks don't work out, it puts you in two holes. You lose the player that you didn't get, and then you've got to draft over that spot. So it's just a really it's a bad situation when your first round picks don't pan out.
All right, bottom of the hour. That means time for news, folks and fans. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. This is Jaguars This Week, and this is News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. 30 minutes left in Jaguars This Week. Oops. And did we get to the Texans offense at all? I'm sorry, Texans defense.
No, they look pretty good.
Doesn't look like...
Mario Williams had, what, two sacks, caused fumble. You know, and I think the thing that surprised me was not necessarily his numbers, because, I mean, I don't care how he stands up, whether it be in a two-point stance or getting down into a three-point stance. The guy is a sensational player. But I didn't think that they would be quite as solid, even against a Colts team that was missing Peyton Manning. But, I mean, they were very good. Got a couple early turnovers in that ball game. And it's not surprising that Mario Williams did not drop into coverage one time in that ball game.
Right.
I mean, so if you're going to play to his talents, I mean, you're not going to have him dropping in the coverage. You know, and you watch what Rob Ryan did with DeMarcus Ware on Sunday night, and he was an absolute beast. And if Wade Phillips can kind of manufacture something like that for Mario Williams, he's going to be tough to deal with.
You know, Mario's... He's kind of either, not kind of anything. He's either there or he's not. You know what I mean? He's either kicking your butt or he's a non-factor.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's not like DeMarcus Ware. Every play DeMarcus Ware brings it.
He's remarkable.
And
he really is.
And is either making a play or is close to making a play. And you're right, Brian, in that Mario Williams sometimes looks like he's just completely unstoppable. And then other plays, he just kind of disappears.
Modern-day Derek Thomas.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, when Derek was at his best, no one could stop him. And then he'd have five games without a sack, and then he'd have seven against Seattle.
Mario, in his defense, I think a lot of his lack of production at times, he's played through a lot of injuries to his credit. I mean, and you don't use that as an excuse, but there have been long stretches where he's played and been ineffective, where it sort of come out later that he was pretty beat up and playing on something maybe he shouldn't have been.
Well, and the Houston's first-round pick, J.J. Watt, I guess looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had to watch, haven't had a chance to really watch him because, you see the highlights. That's about all I've seen so far. I'll get to watching the tape on them in a couple weeks, I'm sure. But
he was really good at Wisconsin.
Yeah, everybody said that he was real solid. And Antonio Smith, who was their left end when they were running a 4-3, who I always liked. I think he's a very good football player, was solid in his debut. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this division plays out. I mean, Houston came out and looked real strong. Jaguars got a win. Tennessee looks lost. Indianapolis looks lost.
Did you ever think you'd say, though, well, let's wait and see on that defense because they played the Colts?
No.
But, I mean,
I said it now until you just said it. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, they were, I mean, the Colts, I don't think, will continue to be the mess they were on Sunday. But if you look at some of their highlights, two fumbles in the first quarter, a lot of mistakes led to that big margin. You know, let's still wait and see on the Texans defense.
If Peyton Manning's not playing, okay, and the Colts end up, you know, being, let's say, 2-4,
mm-hmm,
or whatever it is, at some point in the season, do the people still come? Do they still show up at Lucas Oil Stadium?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, some will, but it is a...
I mean, Peyton Manning not playing, I would think, is going to impact it as it is.
It is a town that, has not... For 13 years has seen one thing, and until 2003 it was not a town that necessarily responded that well to football. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think it'll dip to where it was before Peyton, but it's like any place. I mean, if Brady wasn't playing and they were 2-4 in New England, I think you'd see attendance drop. I mean, anytime a team changes like that where it's going to be a drastic change, I think you're going to see attendance drop.
Speaking of Tom Brady. Wow.
Yeah. Tremendous.
Wow.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And you know what I was thinking the whole time I'm watching that?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. But I'm thinking that's the quarterback that the New York Jets made completely look lost in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And that's the team that the Jaguars got to face this week. Then all of a sudden, you know, you obviously Romo looked pretty good early in that ball game. That's a terrible decision
at the end there.
There at the end of the ball game, throwing right to Darrell Revis. And what in the world was he seeing? I have no idea. It's not like his vision was blocked.
You know, fortunately, Jeff, you can't always compare scores.
No, you can't.
So I mean, I think the Jaguars' running game is significantly different than what the Patriots bring. And the Jaguars' running game obviously will be the key to what they can do this weekend. I mean, they have to be able to pound. They have to be able to set stuff up with the running game.
Have you looked at the Jets' schedule from this point forward?
No.
This is a pretty important game for them because from here they go.
The next three games are brutal.
They go at Oakland, they go at Baltimore, and they go to New England.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you saw Oakland the
other night, looked good. Defense looked really good.
And Darren McFadden is a stud. Campbell is as average gets, but boy, can
they run the
ball.
Yeah, but if you can play great defense and have a good running back.
2007.
You know, quarterback doesn't have to be great. I mean, in Oakland's defense, wow.
It's a pretty big game.
Nnamdi Asamoah is gone, and did you really notice them missing a beat on defense?
No.
Well, Stanford Rout is kind of their marquee guy. No, I thought they looked strong.
Here's another reason why this is a big game this week for both teams, really. The Jets are in the division with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think it's clear that Tom Brady and the Jets are a better team. Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, they weren't in the playoffs, but when you look at them from top to bottom, I think you probably pick them. So the Jets are probably going to be a wild card, which is what they've been the last 2 years, which means that this game, AFC wild card, is a tiebreaker.
Could be.
I mean, week two, you're already taking a look at especially when. Now, if the Patriots had just laid an egg down there in Miami,
you wouldn't be talking
up,
about that.
But they look so good. Now you got to think, well, wow, I mean, this could be a tiebreaker at the end of the year. So this it's not like you're playing at Cincinnati in week two. You're at the Jets.
They didn't. Ocho Cinco, isn't he with the Patriots?
Allegedly. Did you see? Rodney Harrison piled on. He piled on and he agreed with Teddy
Bruschi. Bruschi said, did you read that, John?
I did not read that.
You've got to Google search Teddy Bruschi's comments.
Here's the basic gist of it, is that Ocho Cinco, and I can't believe I'm calling him that, Chad Johnson, was texting, and he said, wow, real deal. He sounded like a fan. He sounded like he was awe-inspired.
He was like in awe, amazed about the offense the Patriots have.
And so Bruschi said, hey, man, stop the tweeting and get your head in the game. You shouldn't be awestruck. You're a player. I mean, he basically dressed him down.
Right.
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
And then Harrison piled on.
Oh, Harrison did too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why they don't have Ocho Cinco here.
Well, and you know the jury's out over how productive he's going to be. You know, free agent wide receivers are a very dangerous acquisition.
I think we've seen that.
Yeah,
jury.
Well, it didn't stop with him.
No. Oh no, he's not the only one.
Right.
There's no doubt. By the way, how long until Randy Moss signs somewhere?
Someone will
sign him.
Yeah, if he wants to play, you know. Sometimes guys just don't want to do it anymore. And, Randy in the last couple of years really didn't look like he – last year he didn't look like he wanted to do it anymore, deep down to me. I mean, everybody saw what I saw.
You saw him in December, so.
He did not look like a guy who was necessarily driven at that point.
All right, we're due for a break. Let's take the final one of the evening, come back with a good segment. We'll look around the league at games this weekend. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351 on News Talk WOKV. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. And we're back on Jaguars this week on News Talk WOKV. Kevin joins us from the South Side. Kevin, good evening and welcome to the program.
Hey Jeff. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey, John. I just want to know the evaluation of Eugene Monroe performance this past Sunday. Thank you. I'll take your question off there.
Right. Thank you, Kev.
Thank you, Kevin. I thought he was pretty good, but at the same time, when you evaluate a player's performance, I think the first thing you have to do is look at the level of talent that's across from him. And the Titans didn't have Jason Jones, who was really going to be their top pass rusher, their top defensive lineman with that revamped defensive front the Titans had. He didn't play. So Eugene ended up going against, I think Dave Ball got some reps over there. Autran,
Werner.
Werner got some rushes on him. And then send Derek Marks was a defensive tackle, moved out there and got some reps at defensive end. You know, Eugene has always been very good as a run blocking tackle. He's athletic. He moves well. He's got good balance. And I thought he was good like he had been in the preseason in the running game and in the pass protection area. Kevin, he just didn't get stressed. I mean, he didn't face a guy that really would make most left tackles go, uh-oh, here we go. I better buckle it up, you know. So there will be a strong test this week when he faces the New York Jets. You got two veteran outside guys, and Calvin Pace is a guy that can rush the passer. And not only will the offensive line be challenged, it's because the talent across from them will be better at times, certainly for Eugene's case, but also the scheme itself sometimes in passing situations become very difficult because you don't know who's coming and who's not. And there was a number that I was looking at this year. Last year, the New York Jets had 40 sacks as a team. Take a guess, John, how many different guys got those 40 sacks for the Jets?
16.
14. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's impressive.
You have 14 guys that got sacks for your defense.
Well, Drew Coleman had four.
That just goes to show you, you know, how many different guys that they will send at different times for the Jets defense. And that's the challenge, is to block the guys that are coming and not be blocking guys that aren't coming.
And so it's outside backers. Calvin Pace had 5.5 on one side, and Brian Thomas had 6 on the other. I mean, those are the two leaders.
And if I remember correctly, Calvin Pace missed like 4 games last year.
He played in 8 games. You know, I'm sorry, 12 games.
Yeah, so, I mean, he missed a significant amount of time and came back from injury and still got 5.5 sacks. I mean, so he's a guy that's capable of double-digit type of sacks, and so Eugene's going to have a strong test. Now, Eugene's going home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a New Jersey guy.
Plainfield.
So hopefully he's going to say, hey, I want to show my best to everybody back home.
You know, one of the things that we never have done on this show regularly during the season is even go through the schedule for the weekend and get some thoughts on the games. We've got like 8 minutes left. Why don't we go through it and talk about some of the other games? Seattle's at Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh, it's a big game for them.
Pittsburgh romps them.
All right. Thoughts on Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, and you're always wary. I'm always wary before a season from prejudging a schedule, because you just don't know from year to year how good different teams are going to be. But you know, Pittsburgh did not look very good last week, and you can't imagine them not being better than that. So,
well, speaking of prejudging a schedule, here's a game that most people would have thought, Oakland at Buffalo. All of a sudden, that's a game with some interest.
And all of a sudden, that Week 3 loss the Jaguars had doesn't look quite as bad as it did 2 weeks ago.
Now, they're pretty strong. I still don't believe that Buffalo is a very good football team. But Fitzpatrick had a day now.
4 touchdowns.
Fitzpatrick might be better than people think.
Well, obviously, I mean, Chan Gailey's a very astute quarterback evaluator. Yeah. And so, but this is a game at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Buffalo comes in, you know, riding the high. And obviously, Oakland's feeling pretty good about the way they beat up the Broncos. Arizona and Washington. Any thoughts on the Redskins and Mike Shanahan and Rex Grossman?
I got a chance to catch a little bit of that game. And I was impressed with the way the Redskins were flying around on defense. Jim Haslett's a good defensive coach. I like what he brings, and it looks like they got rid of Albert Haynesworth, and now they're playing team defense, and they were looking pretty strong. Now, Grossman, I'm not real impressed with.
But so much of the Skins' problems over the years has just been, you know, looking chaotic and looking unorganized and just looking like a mess, and, you know, they weren't going to look that way for long under Mike Shanahan, I didn't think.
How about this one? How about Tampa Bay at Minnesota? And people tell me I should not have been surprised that Tampa at home got beat by Detroit, because Detroit's a team that's steadily gotten better. I don't care. I'm surprised.
Did you see the numbers, though, you're talking about with Minnesota-Tampa, right? That's the game.
Yeah. Tampa at Minnesota.
Donovan McNabb?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to play like that,
don't play.
Hang him up.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously, you want to write a guy off that early in the season, but he obviously, if he has another one or two of those, you've got to ask yourself, is he even capable anymore?
This one has the look of a real good one. How about the Bears, who thumped the Falcons, and the Saints, who played well in the Thursday night loss in Green Bay and have had 10 days to get ready. Chicago at New Orleans.
The Bears play good defense when they play a team that plays a lot of regular personnel. When a team spreads out the Bears' defense, I think they become a lot weaker. This is also going to be an interesting week. Brian Urlacher lost his mother mm-hmm. today, I guess. And what a tough thing to go through. But New Orleans, even though they lost to Green Bay, man, Drew Brees is good.
Yeah.
He is so good. And I don't think that what we saw out of the New Orleans defense is what they really are. I think they're better than that.
Jay Cutler can play, though. And I know people go back and forth on him, but when he's right, he's very, very dangerous.
He's got the most talented arm mm-hmm. in the NFL. He reminds me a lot of
a couple years ago.
He reminds me a lot of Jeff George.
Yep.
You know, and that Jeff George, when he was with the Colts and the Falcons, he was the most talented arm in the NFL. He was just a mess.
I don't think Jay's quite the train wreck mentally.
No. He's not in that category. But he's got some. I still go back to that championship game. There's gotta be a way to get on the field there.
Green Bay travels for the first time this year, and they're at Carolina. So everyone will be talking about Cam Newton, because clearly the Packers are a fair piece ahead of the Panthers.
They can talk about Cam Newton, and they can watch Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Baltimore's at Tennessee. We know what that's about. Here's one. Kansas City at Detroit. Kansas City getting thumped. And now they're going to take on a Detroit team at Ford Field that's coming off a big road win and feeling pretty good about their quarterback.
And again, you look at a game like that, and it's why preconceived notions before the season about a team just make no sense. Nobody would have ever thought Kansas City would have been 0-2, and now they could be staring at it, and that just puts your season in a drastically different dynamic. And all the strength of schedule you want to do in August just really doesn't mean that much until October.
Kansas City loses
Moyaki
in the last preseason game. And then they lost Eric Berry, yeah. Pro Bowl, second-year safety.
And a total difference
for the year from a block from Stevie Johnson. Those are two huge losses. You're talking about two players that really were Pro Bowl type of level players, and now Kansas City's got to go the rest of the way without them.
Yeah. Especially for a team. The team that's always, to me, the red flag team is the team that kind of comes out of nowhere one year against a last-place schedule, and they may be improving, but they have to do it again the next year against a better schedule. Usually teams like that have trouble this year, and then they kind of settle into some long-term competitiveness after that. And that kind of, to me, looks like what Kansas City is.
Indianapolis gets Cleveland at home.
That's a barn burner.
Do we get that in the press box up in New York? We got to see that one.
It's a 1 o'clock game, so yeah, you'll see that. Dallas is at San Francisco. How about this one? Cincinnati at Denver. On the face value, you'd say, so why are you bringing it up? Because of all the Tebow circus that's going on. Have you heard about this? Tebow fans are buying billboards, according to the Denver Post, imploring the Broncos to play the quarterback. That you don't know whether he's second string or third string because they didn't want to draw the wrath of the fans by having him inactive.
I really feel...
Aren't you glad that circus is not here?
For Kyle Orton. I mean, I really do. I mean, a guy who earned the starting job in Denver's camp and then to have to deal with that.
It's a sickness.
That's a shame.
I mean, it's an amazing thing.
That's the line of the night. It's a sickness.
You're
right.
It's bizarre.
San Diego's at New England. That could be interesting. Phillip Rivers up there.
That's one of the top games. When is that?
That's a 4:15 game. Houston's at Miami, so we'll see.
What's the Sunday night game?
I'm getting there. It's a doozy. It's Mike Vick and Philadelphia.
Atlanta?
And Vick in Atlanta for the first time.
All right, that's a good one. But, I mean, that game there, the Atlanta and Philadelphia, and then New England and San Diego, those are the two top games of the weekend around the league, besides this game here in New York, which I think has got a lot of attractiveness to it.
And the Monday night game, I would have told you after we saw St. Louis here, would be interesting. It's the Rams at the Giants, and of course the Rams are beat up, and the Giants didn't look all that good.
Yeah, it's I mean,
It's just 1 week. Everything can change.
As Jeff said, go back to that San Diego New England game. Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady, you know, that's going to be a number.
All right.
Joe's questioning my vocabulary. Is attractiveness a word? Because I use that.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a word.
If it's not, it ought to be.
So we're all in agreement.
Sure.
Yeah. We've got a strategery thing going here, so we'll try to put it all together for you.
That's a word.
Attractiveness?
Yeah.
Right.
It is a word. I don't know that it was used
properly.
But it was a word.
I'm not a wordsmith.
I could have. He said the game has attractiveness.
Some people have a way with words. Some people
not
have a way.
Come on, John, you're the writer. Blogger, is that a word?
Attractiveness?
Yeah.
Why not?
Thank you.
And show us your blog expertise.
And that'll do it, folks. Have a great night, everybody.